Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. You remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What does Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Yep, Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunya!
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
You're listening to Shameless, 101.9 CITR. Oh, you're sitting in the beautiful city of Vancouver. Oh, you're listening to Shameless, 101.9 CITR. You're listening to Shameless, Vancouver.
Thank you. soon to dazzle and devour the crowds of the Electric Owl. They are a school of seven bells with the Knights. And this is Shameless on 119 FM. CITR appearing live via holograms. I am Jonathan Brown, joined once again by my sometimes co-host and liaison to all the best teacher education parties on campus, Natalie Olson.
Hello.
How's it going?
Looks like I need to drink some more tea.
Perhaps you can do some more of your vocal exercises.
Is that all I need to do?
Congratulations.
Did I just pass the radio program?
You did.
Yes.
That makes 2 degrees. Hey, guess what? No, what? 3 degrees, sorry. Natalie here just completed her degree here on campus.
Yay.
Congratulations, Natalie Olson.
Hey, thanks.
How's it feel to be graduated?
Poor. Going into a field where there's no jobs. It's for the children, the children.
I know exactly how you feel, minus all that children stuff.
You're almost finished yours, too.
Almost.
Basically finished.
Technically.
Technically.
And I made something that I'm going to play later in the show for all my radio friends. Accumulated over the past 2 years. I've been watching you, all of you. But as for tonight, we'll be in conversation with Miranda Nelson of the Strait.com, the Georgia Strait's presence online, on the internet. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of city affairs that I got to learn about. And she's the best person to learn from, I feel. We'll also play lots of music, talk about a lot of shows, like one that's going on tonight. For instance, down at the Anza Club, starting at 8 p.m., our very own Nardwar is joining the Celluloid Social Club. And he'll be premiering his video, Busy Doing Nothing with the Evaporators, which was filmed on location right here at the CITR studios. Should be grand. I'll tell you about it now, so you have like an hour and some to get down there and see it. You have the duration of this show to go listen to it. And if you run, you can listen to this whole show and then go see it. See what a nice guy I am? Consider it.
Thinking of everyone.
Also, thinking of Nardwar further, his show is on 3:30 on this station on Fridays. His genre is defined as Nardwar. You know you've made it when you're your own genre. So I feel this is a good place to start our first set, which will consist entirely of new music to the station that is done by CITR people, either staff or programmers. This first one is that very same video you can see at the Anza Club tonight. It is the Evaporators, Busy Doing Nothing.
On the day it'll Shine.
The search for over 4,000 volunteers to join the crew at the BMO Vancouver Marathon has begun. The Vancouver International Marathon Society, the nonprofit group responsible for the event, is reaching out to any and all interested volunteers to participate in over 30 different volunteer roles available this year. Volunteers have until April 25th to register for the positions through the online registration system at the BMO Vancouver Marathon website. For more information on the volunteer program and how to register, just visit bmovanmarathon.ca.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC Westside area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
That's a band called Art Kenyon. One of the dudes in that band, Mr. Mike Kenyon, has the distinction of being our former student executive music director here at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver from their latest record, self-titled Art Kenyon, the track Always, here on Shameless 101.9 FM. CITR. Also in that set, we had the latest from a new band, Weed, the record Gun Control, featuring our own Hugo Noriega of CITR's Hugo Show. And back at that, we had Chris Horrific. Parts Unknown is his show, Mondays at 1. The album Bible Beats, off the track Christian Witch. And we started that set off with The Evaporators, Busy Doing Nothing. They, of course, will be present at the Anza Club, premiering their video for Busy Doing Nothing off the latest record, Busy Doing Nothing, filmed here in the CITR studio. Miss Olson, how's it going over there? Getting comfy?
I guess so. My chair's a bit squeaky.
Just
Sorry.
A bit, you do say. Just a bit.
Bit of an amateur on this CITR thing.
You're killing us. Our ears. You might as well put nails to a chalkboard. Mm. I'm just kidding. Moving right along. There's a great fundraiser coming this Saturday at the Railway Club, featuring the likes of Diamond Dancer and Young Pacific, who do the theme song for this show, Shameless. Little known fact. Love those boys in Young Pacific. And they'll also be playing with the Tough Lovers. The fundraiser is for Diamond Dancer's record label, Sizzle Teen, which just premiered, a few months ago, in fact, one of the newest, hottest record labels Vancouver has to offer. So, hey, you want to support some indie music? The Railway Club, which is always a great place to do it, is even better this Saturday, featuring a band like this. Here's Diamond Dancer from their latest record, Will You, the track, Only If You Believe in the Power of Friendship. That's a line from a commercial, Natalie. Remember what commercial that was from?
No.
If you guessed Netflix, you would be correct. On Shameless, 101.9 FM, CITR, Vancouver.
is Ron McLean of Hockey / Movie Night in Canada. You're listening to CITR 101.9.
Drums of the East. Satan's deceit. Lost to the sirens, a call from the turbulent tide. Bound by the science that lives on the lips of the
we just had there was a set dedicated to gigs going on around Vancouver in the near future here on Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR. We started off with Neon Indian from their latest era, Extrana, the track Polish Girl, and they'll be at the venue next Saturday. We followed it up with New Justice. They'll be at the PNE Forum next Thursday, guaranteed to be sold out, but hey, that shouldn't stop you. From Audio Video Disco, the track was Civilization. Now, the coolest show of all, and if it's not in your calendars, well, you better get a pen to it right now, is this Friday, April the 20th, 420, if you will, if that's how your calendar goes, is the 7 9s and 10s at the Rickshaw Theater down on Main Street. Doors are at 6 because there are 8 bands on the bill. Headlined, of course, by the 7 9s and 10s. Now, from their latest record, Habitat 67, a track dedicated to the actress from such great movies as GoldenEye, X-Men, X2, and of course, X3, is Famke Janssen on Shameless 119 CITR. The show, of course, is Shameless.
from the cigarette, even more when I think of it. So let's not make some kind of scene, because I don't want to waste my time, always trying to be right. Don't really know what to do, what's going on with you. What's running through your head? What's the last thing you said? You said, are you gonna something I don't wanna know. And I can see you through my movie red.
Winnie Cooper is proud to present the Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club. With one of the biggest video walls in North America, 560 is quickly becoming one of the nicest venues Vancouver has to offer. 560 also features four floors, each presenting you with a different musical vibe. In the coming months, the Thursday Concert Series will be presenting you with some of the hottest musical acts to hit town. Get your tickets quick for Lil B, performing the WinnieCooper.net 4-year anniversary party at 560. Advanced tickets are available through WinnieCooper.net, Club Zone, or at Zulu, Beat Street, and Red Cat Records. This will be Lil B, the Bass God's first Canadian appearance. Watch out for the Das Races show, set to perform their unique style of Brooklyn-based hip-hop on May 2nd. The Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club, located at 560 Seymour Street in Vancouver, BC, presented by Winnie Cooper.
The question, what kind of cities do we want to live in? How do we want our cities to be? Cannot be divorced from the question of what kind of people we want to be.
Join me, your host, Andy Longhurst, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for The City, an hour dedicated to critical discussions of urban issues on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming live at citr.ca. For more information, visit the show's website at thecityfm.wordpress.com.
I'm hoping that I could be home right now. The feel of the breeze, the smell of the trees under my brow.
I hear you calling out.
Come Friday, the 27th of April, people in Vancouver will sweat. And they'll be sweating because they'll be at the Commodore. And playing at the Commodore will be the likes of those guys, Yukon Blonde, along with the other Vancouverist bands on the planet, Library Voices, Sun Wizard, and the Great Bloomers. That's a huge show. Excellent show. I haven't even seen it yet, and I'm sure it's going to be an excellent show. Also, before that, we had Zeus from their latest record, Busting Visions, the track Are You Gonna Waste My Time? I've themed a lot of these sets here on 101.9 FM, CITR, on this show that is shameless. And if there's a theme for that set, it would be the 70s-est sounding set known to man. Although, time is short, talk is cheap. So moving right along, another excellent Vancouver band combines members of Yusei Party and Oh No Yoko. Together they form The Real Boys. And from their latest record, here's Vacation. Vancouver is a dream of a city to work in, if you're a journalist, because it's just so weird. Golden content is literally lurking around every corner. The trouble is, getting any dirt on any of the social spheres is pretty hard, because so many writers are worried about keeping their jobs. Except where one awesome publication is concerned, because they have a lock on everything you'd ever want to know about Vancouver, from entertainment to politics to food. And that is the Georgia Strait. And their assistant editor of online content is Miranda Nelson. In a darkened booth of the corner of the famous Kyle's Cafe, I use my journalist prowess to find out how she became a writer.
I can't say that being a writer is anything I actually ever wanted to do. I kind of fell into it backwards in college. I started writing sports, of all things, which doesn't make sense because I hate sports and anything athletic. But I did a good enough job at that that they hired me to be an editor. And that's more of where my passion lies. But I don't know, writing is fun. Writing is one of those things when you start doing it, you can't stop doing it even if you hate it, which most days I do.
Did you cover a lot of school sports at the time?
I did, actually. Our college volleyball team, both the men's and women's team, were quite well ranked nationally, I do believe. I covered a lot of that. I think the people in the gym who ran the programs thought I was crazy, though. Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of athletes have facial piercings and shaved heads, so.
They should, though.
They should, yes, especially the female athletes. Yeah.
So from your university graduation, how did you become in contact with the Georgia Strait publication?
That actually was a fluke as well. I moved to Vancouver shortly after college and did some tedious proofreading and decided that was no more fun. And yeah, actually with the Georgia Strait, it was one of the few jobs I didn't have a foot in the door. I answered an advertisement in the back of the Strait because I read it every single Thursday at my boring job that I was doing. And yeah, they hired me, and I'm not quite sure why, but I did trash some media conglomerates in my interview, which I think, yes, endeared me to them.
And what is your official position with the Strait, if you would indulge us?
Oh, the Georgia Strait? Yes, I am the assistant editor of Strait.com, which means I am an online janitor for works. I make sure things on the site are tidy, and I do some editing on the side.
And what's the average day in the life of Miranda Nelson like, cleaning up the online presence of the Georgia Strait?
It's me sitting in front of a computer for 8 hours, adding tedious HTML tags into things, and looking at videos on YouTube, and reading a lot of news. Mostly sitting on my ass, though, for 8 hours a day staring at a screen.
You found any videos lately that have really caught your attention that people should look up?
There was one that went around on Friday, I do believe, of the 8-year-old Australian girl singing hardcore. That was pretty awesome. It blew up. It's had like 2 million views or something like that. I'm trying to think what else I've seen. I'm totally over the shit people say meme, but I saw one today that was shit New Yorkers say. I thought that was kind of funny. I'm a masochist. I hate the meme, but I keep looking.
What's some shit Miranda says?
Some shit I say.
I'll cut this up like one of those memes too.
I hope so. There's a lot of ums and errs. It's because I'm stoned. That's something Miranda says. Yeah, I'm sorry. You'll have to repeat yourself. I'm stoned. What are all these assholes doing on the bus? Back door. I say that a lot. On the bus, not really in general context. That sounds like it could be taken wrong. Yeah.
So Miranda, come around here often? Back door.
Exactly. That's exactly how it goes.
You've covered a fair bit of social issues in Vancouver. How's the city changed in the last 5 years, in your perspective?
Oh, gosh. This is a question where I actually have to think. I feel like it's gotten unfriendlier, if that's even possible. Local politics really hasn't changed at all. It's maybe leaning a little bit more conservative. I want to say something really profound, but in a lot of ways, Vancouver's pretty stagnant. Like, there's been some small leaps forward. The Olympics was really interesting to sort of watch how people reacted to that, but then as soon as the Olympics were over, everybody just went back to being their same unfriendly selves, which is kind of par for the course. Housing prices keep going up. That's awesome. It came out today that we are the second most unlivable city in all of Canada, I do believe, in the world. What was the other one that's... It's Hong Kong or something that surpasses us. If you want to go to Detroit or Windsor, you can get a house like that, but yeah.
Things have become more conservative. You didn't see Mayor Gregor DJing at the Biltmore a few months ago?
No, I missed that. He did come into our office one day for an interview shortly before the election, though, and he did get into his little bicycle suit and get on his bike and pedal away at the end of the interview, which I thought was pretty cute, and I don't know, I have sort of a disenchanted view with Vancouver politics. I have a disenchanted view with most things, but yeah, I don't know, I see a lot of gentrification, I see a lot of people with money continuing to get richer.
You have a strong online presence with the Georgia Strait. What kind of feedback have you gotten online in your time with the Strait?
Most of the feedback I get is from commenters, and commenters on the internet, you kind of have to take them with a grain of salt. I've been called pretty much every name in the book. I had some guy once say that I'd gotten off the freak bus from 1969. I've had people call me a lot of names, but I've also had a lot of good feedback. People seem to like some of the things I write. If they don't, I hear about it really quickly. I don't know about the paper as a whole. Everybody I talk to and I say I work at the Georgia Strait, they're like, that's awesome. So I guess that's got some sort of cachet in this town. I don't know. I get enough positive feedback that I keep writing. Yeah.
Do you like to rile people up?
Yes, I definitely do that. I have to watch myself, especially on Twitter, because you can just sort of lash out at people and get in really snarky arguments. So I'm trying to cut down on that, not immediately feed the trolls.
We'll have more from Miranda Nelson of TheStrait.com after this track from Foam Lake. It is Too Late on Shameless 101.9 FM, CITR. What are your thoughts on it?
Down with SOPA. No good. No good. I followed a lot of it January 18th. I watched the blackout with some glee. I really liked the next day Anonymous's response to it, where they tried to take down a bunch of websites. And they did succeed for a brief period of time. I think anything that hands more autonomy over the internet to corporations is a bad thing, especially in the entertainment business that doesn't seem to understand that. Doesn't seem to understand how the internet fundamentally works. I get a little nervous about censorship in any way, shape, or form. I'm anti-SOPA.
So you're saying you talk to people who, when you tell them you work at the George Strait, they say, that's so awesome. What is the most commonly asked question people have for you when they find out you work for the George Strait?
Oh, that one's easy. It is insert music writer here that much of an asshole as in real life as he sounds on paper? And the answer is much more so.
Nice.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which writer, they're all assholes. They're all jerks. Yeah. I mean, they're awesome writers, but that is the question I get asked, so I try to play it up a little bit. Yeah.
You have to be an asshole to be a good writer, I feel.
I think so, and you have to develop a really, really thick skin really quickly. We had a couple of interns, actually, who did music reviews and concert reviews, whatever, and some of them continued to write for us, and their biggest hurdle was just sort of developing that thick skin. Our veteran music writers have it quite well. They enjoy when getting called an asshole.
Kurt Vonnegut, Hunter S. Thompson, Isaac Asimov, Jim Davis, assholes.
All of them across the board. Yeah, especially Jim Davis. Seriously, Garfield is such an asshole. Yeah.
Just want some lasagna.
Why is a cat eating lasagna? That doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense in the slightest. He was always so mean to Nermal, too. Yeah. Nermal just wanted to be loved.
So I've got a few questions for you about Van City. I know you've been around quite a bit. You're a happening gal around town. Yeah. Where's the best breakfast?
Best breakfast, I want to say Kyle's, but only because it's in proximity to my house. Yes, actually, I'm just finished eating Kyle's breakfast right now, even though it is not breakfast time at all. Is there a coffee noise? Yeah, I'm going to drink that coffee. I am also fond of the MasterChef Cafe, which is down on Hastings near Nanaimo. You can get a cup of coffee for 85 cents, and there's never hipsters in it, which pleases me greatly. Also, Seb's on Broadway near Fraser's pretty good. Yeah, if you want something slightly classier. They have venison or buffalo or, I don't know, weird meat.
Something wild?
Yes, something wild, grass-fed, free-range.
Best place to shop in Vancouver?
Best place to shop? Well, I'm one of those hippies who doesn't really believe in commerce. I'm trying to think the last time I went shopping anywhere was probably Value Village. Yeah, I avoided Christmas entirely. I didn't go into any malls. Malls are pretty terrifying. If you want good clothes, I would say like Main Street, south of 16th. That's pretty funky. They've got all sorts of cool designers. They've got record shops. They've got lots of yarn stores. Those are pretty cool.
And this last one, I know you'll answer it well. Best venue in town.
Best venue in town. Well, I guess that depends on what you want out of your venue. I hesitate to name a best. I really like dancing at the Commodore just because of the awesome dance floor, but it's a little big for me. The Vogue is great, but no dancing. The Biltmore's okay, but the sight lines really suck, and there's also that pervading hipster douchiness around it.
It's ground zero, you could say.
It is ground zero for the hipster douchebaggery. Best venue. Yeah, I really should have a better answer to this. I'm trying to think the last place I really enjoyed going. I can name you lots of places I don't like. I used to really like the Yale. That was fun. I hope their renovations go well. Yeah, I don't really have a good answer to that because every venue in this town has something wrong with it. Yeah.
I think those all work. To end this little chat session off, I have a lightning round for you.
Okay.
Got to answer these as fast as you can.
This is such a challenge.
How long before marijuana is legal in BC?
5 years.
The next band to blow up?
Oh,
Like in Vancouver or just bands in general? Have the PAC AD already blown up? Because I would put my money on them. They're everywhere these days, and they're really good. Yeah.
Who will win the next U.S. election?
Barack Obama. Yeah. Of course, it's going to be a Gingrich Santorum ticket. So, I mean, how could you lose if Obama fucks this up? Man.
Canadian election.
Stephen Harper. Unfortunately, I don't want to say that with any glee, but the Liberals don't have a chance and the NDP can't get their shit together about who to nominate for the leadership. Well, I guess it's still going on, but I haven't seen a really compelling NDP candidate yet.
What's cooler, the WWE or the MMA?
Cooler? I'm not doing this lightning round thing very well. WWE, mostly because I like watching people hit each other in the head with chairs.
And finally, what's cooler, the Georgia Strait or the West Ender?
Georgia Strait.
I think you're 6 for 6.
Yes. Awesome.
Our guest today was superstar assistant editor of thegeorgiastrait.com, Miranda Nelson. AD, Miranda Nelson's favorite band, playing the Commodore tomorrow night. Miranda Nelson's favorite venue,
I bet she'll be there. That concludes another edition of Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR here in Vancouver. We are short on time. There simply is no time. But we have time for a sign-off. Natalie, thanks for coming out once again.
Anytime. Pleasure to see
you. You have shout-outs you want to deliver?
Well, I just found out that my nearly one-year-old niece is now the youngest, perhaps, Shameless fan out there. Listening to the show, she also loved the Pack 80.
Shucks.
Apparently, she was dancing away to that song. Their four teeth gnashing. Exactly.
That just makes my heart grow two sizes too much bigger. Anyway, I wanted to end the show off with a tribute to the radio program that I survived the last 2 years of. This little montage is the last 2 years of my dealings with people from the radio program on this show. Really, since Folk Oasis, this is coming up pretty soon. Might as well not say much more other than just play it, because it might be self-explanatory. Good night, Vancouver. Tonight, I'm a Batman without a Robin, a Lewis without a Clark, an Obama without a Biden. My chief of staff, Natalie, is busy neck deep in schoolwork. So I thought now would be a pretty good time to transform tonight's edition of Shameless into an educational adventure, because, you know, the whole music thing's not really working out. And to help me with my studies, I'm joined by two of my colleagues, Pat and Jen.
Howdy.
How's
Hello.
It going?
Hello.
Good.
Pretty stellar.
Oh, yeah. You two are radio students. We're all radio students.
Are we?
Yes.
You're making your radio debut. Or no, you're not making your radio debut.
Well, once. I was
that
an
counts.
Assistant of sorts.
I requested a song once.
Well, there you go.
Kind of counts.
Yeah, in a way. Not really.
They didn't have the song. It was really disappointing.
Oh.
Yeah. It was Honky Honky the Christmas Goose.
How could they not have that?
I don't know. It was CBC, too.
Also, we didn't do our vocal exercises yet.
No.
Should we start now?
Ooh.
Absolutely.
What are we doing? We're stretching our tongue.
That's good. I feel so much better.
Right Hi. Now.
Yeah.
Hi.
Sorry, Jonathan. I'm afraid we've debunked the 2012 propaganda. You've seen too much.
But I've seen everything you have.
I know that. Far too much. Poor fools. They didn't see the truth. They'll never believe me. But I was cured. I was never ill.
But before we finish off, we did promise that we'd share some of our Christmas memories. What are some of yours?
Christmas memories. See, I'd have to take a long, I'd have to pack my bags. Take a trip down memory lane.
Pack your baggage, you mean?
Maybe until I was, you know, I think I was 11, maybe 10. I remember finding out finding out for the first time that Santa for sure didn't exist. And sorry if I'm dashing anyone's dreams out there, but he doesn't.
What?
I'm sorry, John, I'm sorry. But I've got a new BMX. It's from Santa. The tag said from Santa. Family friend came over. They said, "Hey, Maddie, how you like your new BMX? And they said, "Hold the phone. That was from Santa. There's no way you could have known I got a BMX for Christmas." And I knew they were the ones that delivered it over there for my parents. And I said, "Hey, Santa doesn't exist." And they said, "No, he does." And I said, "Look, I got the facts. The numbers have been crunched. I crunched the numbers, John. Santa doesn't exist. I was sure of it." And it almost felt good proving my parents wrong. I said, "Look, quit feeding me this crap."
Detective Pollock's on the case.
That's right. It's solved a mystery. It's like CSI. Yeah!
We are here today at the 7,000 annual Railway Iron Championship. Today we look behind the Iron Curtains here at Railway Station 2829 in the Nebulon Sector.
This will truly be a momentous series of rotation in history, as former 899-time World Robo Arm Wrestling Champion Hydrolock 7A returns from exile, a disgraced exile, from his embarrassing debacle during 47-29 World Robo Arm Wrestling Championship, where he was discovered arm wrestling with an illegal lubrication injected into his mecha wrist.
Looking back, Hydrolock 7A, do you have any regrets on your heinous atrocity against Robo Arm Wrestling?
I think you're referring to my Robo-Roid scandal of 800 years ago. Is that what you're referring to?
I know it's a bit of a touchy subject, What do you have to say to your fans who feel that robo-arm wrestling has been devalued to the point of pro wrestling or robo-NASCAR?
All of Hydrolock 7A's fans are bleeding pigs. All they need know is within the text of the tell-all book I wrote about the robo-steroid scandal.
And what was your reaction to Optimus Prime saying that you pretty much threw him under the bus in your tell-all book?
Don't you mean Space Bus?
I'm standing here with defending world robo-arm champion, Optimus Prime. Now, Optimus, how do you feel about who you're going to be facing tonight?
Hydrolock 7A is an outdated model and is a square at all 90-degree angles. I will save my best trash talking for him later in the ring, but for now, I will only say 1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-1-0-
feels he's got a good chance, but so does Hondra Lock 7A. Now we're going to hear from Polybot 2784-3265-41XB92, who will be taking the winner home to add to her collection of Robo Brother Husbands. Or as she's called for short, just Polybot 2032.
Well, considering Hydrolock 7A was caught lubricating his right wrist, he sounds like he spends a lot of time alone and would appreciate my company more so than Optimus Prime.
They will not be friends. Polygamy Bot only has one husband to add to her pile. Never surrender. The winner takes it all. They're lifting robot weights, even though all they need is fuel. Fuel to fight the fire. Wrestling Championship. Fight till the end. Who will be the champion of the Nebulon Sector? Only time will tell.
Oh my goodness, what a shocking turn of gravitational events. This robot arm wrestling contest has ended before it even began. The primary culprit? Dirty coolant. Never in my 25 galactic cycles have I witnessed such a morose display. Who was this year's winner? Well, I guess the correct answer is no one. Join us next solar cycle for another adventure in robo arm wrestling. This is Combot 321. Signing off.
Power down.
Now it's time for dun dun dun.
The government denies the existence of this next segment, but here it is, anyways. This is WTF, the Wacky Things Files.
Ah, yes, the Wacky Theme Files. Well, Jonathan, apparently the Force is strong in this one. Yes, even Jedis have bad days. Police in Portland, Oregon, were alerted to a disturbance in the Force Wednesday night after a man allegedly went on a rampage with a plastic lightsaber at a local Toys R Us store. Now, get this. The officers arrived at the scene and attempted to take the suspect into custody, but the man continued to swing the lightsaber and continually yell incoherent statements. One officer attempted to use a taser, but was rendered ineffective due to the man who was able to actually break the wires through the use of the lightsaber. Plastic lightsabers stopping a taser.
Who knew?
Apparently quite more powerful than we all thought. Moving on, a middle school is in hot water and may cancel, have their season canceled after their team lost 100-2. Yes, there are routes. There are blowouts. And then there are epic one-sided losses that would make the likes of Woody Hayes blush.
You'd think you'd get rid of the other team, the one that lost. Just put them out of their misery. Like, so, not the one that won.
Pikeville versus Kemper Elementary Middle School. So apparently, Joe Davis's Pikeville's crew raced out to a 70-0 lead at halftime, which he urged the team to stop playing defense. Cut the half-court press. Just kind of let anything go. Kemper is a small school. There's only 180 students, and the team has 11 players on the squad.
I would think he'd score that much during a practice. It's like there was not even another team on the court, which makes it even sadder when you think of it that way.
But